So the other day, my brothers and I were digging in the backyard when suddenly I noticed something shining. As I looked closer, I noticed it was an old glass bottle and something was in it. "Hey fellas, come look what I found," I said to my brothers. They came over quickly, and when we finally got it out of the dirt and wiped it off good, we could see that inside the bottle was a treasure map. We ran inside to show it to our parents. "Mom, Dad, look, we're going to be rich. We found a map to a hidden treasure. Let's go find it." My dad was like, "Wow, a hidden treasure." So my family loaded up in the van and drove down to the docks and boarded the family boat. We were off to find the treasure. We sailed for days on the sea through some really bad storms. Finally, we arrived on an island. When we got off the boat, we were suddenly attacked by a pack of wolves, but we shot them. We were followed the map down to this dark, creepy cave, which opened up to a huge room with a giant X on the ground. We were so close to the gold, we could smell it. Or was that my dad? Nah, that was the gold. Our hearts started beating fast as we ran towards it. We all got our shovels and started digging. Well, except for my mom. She didn't want to break a nail. But you'll never believe what we found under all that dirt. Well, nothing, actually, because none of that really happened. I was just kidding about all that. But seriously, did you know that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." A treasure so valuable, it's worth selling everything to get it? Now that is a treasure. You know what would really happen to a bunch of gold, even if we really did have it? Eventually, we would spend it all, or we would die and leave it behind, or Jesus would come back and it would all burn up. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Proverbs 11, verse 28 says, "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf." Psalm 62:10 says, "If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them." We must be careful not to put our trust in worldly things, whether it be money, sports, games, or whatever the case may be. That stuff will not always be there for you, but Jesus will. Jesus said in Luke 16:13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." We must make a choice. We cannot serve God and things. In Matthew 19:24, Jesus said, "It is harder for a rich man to go to heaven than for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle." He said that for a reason. Riches can overtake us. Satan knows this. Satan wants us to love things more than we love God. If our treasure is in Christ, we have the most important thing in the world, eternal life. We should be willing to do whatever it takes to get that treasure, hold on to it, and share it with others. If our treasure is in Christ, then we will live our lives in a way that makes Him proud and brings Him honor. There's nothing wrong with cool things and fun stuff, but if something becomes more important to us than God, then we have a problem. In Matthew 19, Jesus told a rich young ruler to sell all his things and give them to the poor if he wanted to be right with God, but the man couldn't do it. Verse 22 says he walked away sad because he had many possessions. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:13. The wisest, richest man of all time tried to make everything in the world be his treasure. And when it was all said and done, he said that making the Lord your treasure is the only way to be happy. That should tell us something, shouldn't it? Let's be honest and ask ourselves, what is my real treasure?
Have you ever gone to the beach? When I went, we made huge sandcastles. My family and I were almost done making one of the biggest sandcastles ever. But then we forgot one thing, the waves. The whole sandcastle fell and turned into the smallest sandcastle ever. Things in the world, like sandcastles, won't last. We can spend a lot of time working on them, but in the end, they aren't a treasure that we can depend on. Video games, money, gold, baseball, basketball, these are all treasures. But these treasures are not the right ones. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Does God want you to focus on earthly things instead of heavenly things? Should you focus on games or church? Now let's see what the Bible has to say about treasures on earth compared to treasures on heaven. Treasures on earth. You can have faith in the world, but the world will fail you. Matthew 7:26 says, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." The foolish man built his house on the sand, which represents the world. Don't build your home on the world, because the waters will come in and wipe everything away. Like when you stand on the beach and the tide rolls between your feet and your sand. You can't stand on something that doesn't have a foundation. Treasures in heaven. Matthew 7 also talks about a wise man. The wise man built his house on the rock. Since it was a rock, it had a stronger foundation. The waters came in and could not bring the house down. Be like the wise man and build your house on God. Proverbs 3:5-7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. If you have faith in God, then God will not fail you." Treasures on earth. Matthew 19 talks about a rich man. The rich man had everything you could ever want, but not necessarily everything. He asked Jesus in verse 16, "Teacher, what good thing do I have to do to earn eternal life?" He had kept his commandments during his life, so the Lord told him, "If you want to be perfect, then go sell all of your possessions and give to the poor." The rich man went away sad because he was really rich and wanted to keep everything he had. And everything that he had was wiped away by the waters. The rich man lacked faith in God. Treasures in heaven. Selling his possessions wasn't the only thing Jesus told him to do. He also told him to sell your possessions and you will have treasure in heaven. Matthew 19 talks about letting go of earthly things and following God. It was just a regular day when Jesus came to Peter. Peter saw him, and immediately Peter and Andrew left everything behind to follow Jesus. I guess you could say they let it go. Treasures on earth. It's not all about you. If you treat people like you want to be treated, then you would be right with God. But if you don't, then you're not really right with God. James 3:16 says, "For where you have envy and self-ambition, there you find every evil and evil practice." Thinking only about yourself gives you treasure on earth, treasures in heaven. If you want to be like Jesus, we should see other people as God's children. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." What happens when you do service to God's people? When you serve God's people and treat them like you want to be treated, then you are obeying God. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility or value to others." God is all that matters on earth. If you don't want to go with God, then you're the foolish man, and your house has been knocked over by the waters. Or you're the person who goes with God, and your house stays built on the rock. Building treasures in heaven will give you eternal life with God. Treasures on earth do not last. You have a choice. Which one will it be?
Jesus gives us very specific commands about storing up treasures of the heavenly kind and not earthly kinds. He says, Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Jesus teaches us that rewards, or treasures, from other people are earthly and soon fade away, but heavenly treasures from God are permanent and will last forever. So who we try to please and what we consider a treasure is very important, because Jesus also says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. When Jesus talks about the heart, he doesn't mean the muscle in your chest that pumps blood. He means your spiritual heart. We read in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." This definition of heart is the center of our spirituality. So I must ask ourselves, where is our heart, and where is our focus? Is our focus on money? Are we focused on popularity? Are we focused on sports? Or are we focused on God, living a righteous life and building treasures in heaven? Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 25 tells us that during Jesus' time period, there were many people who worshipped in a way so they would get attention and be looked up to by other people. They worshipped for their own glory and not for God's glory. Jesus said these people have already received their reward. What Jesus meant by that is being in the center of attention and being admired by other people was the only reward they would get. They will not receive heavenly rewards from God. We know that our work to build heavenly treasure will not always be easy, and we will be tested. Hebrews 10:36 assures us, though, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." What a comfort to know that all of our hard work will pay off. God guarantees it by making this promise. While we know we are required to work hard, there may also be earthly things we have to give up in return for our reward. God always has a better plan and a greater reward than anything we could receive here on earth. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 tells us, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in the good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." This reminds me of a story I once heard about a little girl who, more than anything, wanted a pearl necklace she spotted in a checkout line while shopping with her mother. The little girl did not have enough money, but her mother told her if she saved her money, she'd have enough in no time. The necklace only cost $1.95, after all. The little girl worked hard to earn that money to buy the pearls, and she finally had enough money saved. After she bought them, she wore them everywhere. Her mother told her not to wear them swimming or in the bath since they would turn her skin green, but she wore them at all other times. She loved them and was so proud of them. Each night, as she was getting ready for her bed, her dad would come into her room and ask if she loved him. After she answered each time with a yes, he would ask for her pearls. And every time, she offered something other than her precious pearls. Then on one particular night, her daddy came in to tell her goodnight and noticed her crying. When he asked what was the matter, she didn't say anything but lifted up her hand to her dad. And when she opened it, there was her little pearl necklace, and she finally said, "Here, Daddy, it's for you." With tears in his own eyes, her daddy reached out with one hand to take the dime store necklace, and with the other hand, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a blue velvet case with a strand of genuine pearls and gave them to her. He had them all the time. He was just waiting for her to give up the dime store stuff so he could give her genuine treasure. So much like our Heavenly Father, he is waiting for us to give up the earthly stuff to receive a true treasure. What are we hanging on to? What do we need to give up in order to receive the treasure our Father is waiting to give us?
The word treasure indicates that something is important. Treasure can mean something that we find, something that was hidden, or even lost. Think about the pirates in the search for treasure. They were looking for lost gold and were hoping to find it. They would even take steps to sabotage other pirates' search for the same treasure. They were ruthless and scared. They just wanted the treasure and didn't care what it took to find it. I have a half-dollar coin. It's worth 50 cents. Most people wouldn't consider it to be a treasure, but I do. I consider it to be my treasure because my papa gave it to me. He used to carry it around with him in his pocket wherever he went.
He gave it to me and told me to keep up with it. So that's what I do. I'll always keep it in a safe place, and I'll never use it to buy a hamburger at McDonald's, no matter how hungry I get. It's a treasure because he gave it to me. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So what are some things as I, as a Christian, should consider to be a treasure? The most important is the Word of God. I have a few Bibles. My dad has way more than I do. Why? He says it's important to have many different translations of the Bible so we can understand it better. The Word of God should be our guide for everything we do in life. It has the power to encourage and lift us up when we are struggling. My favorite verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Another favorite is Philippians 4:13, where it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And one other favorite is Romans 10:17, where it says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I treasure these verses. They are very important to me and give me encouragement in my Christian walk with God. I also treasure my family. The church is important to my family. My grandfather was an elder in the church for about 20 years in Kentucky. My other grandfather was a preacher for about 40 years and still is. My mom goes to Haiti multiple times a year as a part of a mission team. My dad is a minister at my church, and both him and my mom stress the importance of being active in the church. My sister goes to Freed Hardman. Although we argue quite a bit, I'm so thankful to have her helping me and guiding me. I would not be who I am today at this moment if it weren't for my family guiding me and encouraging me to be the best I can be. I also treasure the encouragement I receive from great teachers, which would include my youth ministers, coaches, school teachers, and Bible class teachers. I've been really blessed to have a lot of adults in my life that look out for me, give me good advice, encourage me, and most importantly, love me. Good examples are something to treasure. You can't put a price tag on the Word of God, or your family, or the example you get from great people. But they are most definitely a treasure. They are just treasures that will help me get to heaven. Things like coins and old baseball cards may be important to people, but they won't help you get to heaven. They will get torn, lost, or even stolen. If that is what I call treasure, I would be missing the whole point of Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. My heart is with the Word of God, my family, and the example I receive from good people. That is my treasure. What is yours?
What's treasure to you? Is treasure the kind of treasure that's hidden in a wooden box and is buried by trashy-looking sailors with hooks? No. I'm talking about the kind of treasures you think about all the time, or your desires. I want you to think about three things. I want you to think about your treasures. Then I want you to think about, how does it affect your worship? Then I want you to see, how does it affect your spiritual life? Now, your treasures can be a lot of things. Mine happens to be basketball. Basketball, for me, is the one sport that brings me closer to God. When I have success in basketball, I praise God for it. But even when I fail, I still praise God for it, because those failures help you learn. Some people's treasures aren't so helpful. Some can be addictive. The most powerful one is money. Money can create really tight issues and cause people to have greed in their heart. If you don't know what I mean, just go watch SpongeBob and notice how evil money can cause you to be. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 19:21. He said, "If you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you have treasures in heaven." When the rich man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. For his possessions caused him to have greed in his heart. And in Matthew 19:23-24, Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven." Jesus makes this point because people with a lot of riches are so caught up in the world that they don't see what God provided them. I'm not saying rich people are bad. Even poor people can get caught up in their riches or their lust. Like, you can think about it and dream about it, even to the point in worship. You might think of the next trip I'm going on, going shopping, the next paycheck, or even the new car I'm getting. Those are the kind of treasures that separate you and God, and the kind of treasures God talked about in Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy it, and where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures on heaven. And plus, in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve both God and money. And lastly, in Matthew 13:44-46, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, where a man finds it and hides it for joy, and goes and sells all he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful metals, for he sells all he has and buys it. So really, if your treasure can cause you to lose all that you have to one thing, then you're in trouble. Think about Job, a wealthy man with thousands of farm animals and a large family with tons of miles of land. Then one day, the devil tested him by taking away all that he had and his family, when all he had was his wife and his friends, which then his wife persuaded him to curse God and die, or basically just give up. He was in a good spot because he was humble and still be a man of God. The thing was, he was in a good spot because his treasures didn't affect his spiritual life. That's not the case with David. David's treasures caused him to sin greatly by having sex with a woman that was already married. And to cover that up, he tried to kill the woman's husband. His treasure was lust. His treasures got a man killed for it. Are your treasures getting the best of you? Are you living in sin because of them? If you know where your heart is, look where your mind goes and wanders, and that is your treasure. If you want to treasure something, treasure heaven, because heaven is eternal, but life is just a vapor. Think about your treasures. Now think about, where does that put you with God?
For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. These words were spoken by Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. He's in the middle of the most famous speech ever preached and is addressing how we should live and conduct ourselves. He's just finished discussing the important principles of prayer by teaching the Lord's Prayer and fasting. Then the text reads, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The eye is the body of the lamp. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. He's reminding us of the things that are really important. Our generation is facing a tough time. We're constantly told that we have to have certain things to be happy. We have to have the newest cars, the latest fashions, the most up-to-date phones. Just pay attention to what commercial tells. You want to be happy? Buy this. 2,000 years ago, they were the same way that we are now. Consider the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. The farmer was caught up in the same things that we are today. He thought wealth could buy him happiness. He even says this, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' What he didn't know is that this was his last day on earth. All of his riches couldn't save him. He was investing in the wrong things. He thought his things would buy him happiness. It's the same thing we face today. We have the pressure that generations before us didn't. We're always on some sort of social media. If we don't check in, we may miss something. It still falls into the same thing. pressure to fit in, to conform. We believe that the more followers, the better. We want more likes and more retweets. If we aren't careful, this can become our treasure. Jesus tells us the only way to true happiness is through God. Solomon is considered to be the wisest man ever. He had the wealth and the time to explore all this world had to offer. He is exceedingly rich and was a powerful king no one could say no to. He tried it all. Everything the world tells us we need to be happy. There was nothing he didn't or couldn't try. Here's what he discovered. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. He had it all. He tested it all, and it came up lacking. So where is our treasure? That is where our heart will be. Jesus sums it up later in the same sermon. It is not about worrying, but it is really about getting our priorities straight. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and of the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a simple hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is yours?
If you had to choose one activity as your favorite, what would it be? Maybe it's a sport, maybe it's a video game, or how about following the sports team like the Red Sox? Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21 say, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves your treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Every person alive has something that they love to do or are passionate about. For me, it's my truck and also hunting. Cars. Just about everybody over the age of 16 has one. Some people name them. Other people choose to install ridiculously loud sound systems in them. But for me, it's all about the looks. In the automotive world, there's always something that can be fixed or worked on. And I wouldn't know about that because I drive a Dodge, but that's a different story. The bigger, the better, and the more expensive. You can do whatever you want. You can lift them way up in the air. You can lower them on the ground. You can improve your fuel mileage. You can add horsepower. You can even make the headlights change colors as you drive down the road. So when you decide to invest a lot of money, aka your treasure, into a vehicle or whatever it may be, then you don't really have a choice but to love it with all your heart. On the other hand is hunting. The whole process is exciting. First of all, you have the off-season. During this period, you spend all your time preparing. You scout, you put out trail cameras, and you even clear land for food plots, and then you go and plant them. Eventually, the season comes around, and by then, you have a hit list of deer or whatever animal you're going after. There's nothing like waking up 4:30 in the morning in the freezing cold in the dark woods just for a chance to see a deer. Sometimes you don't see anything. Other times you might see 10, but none of them are the one you're going after. Then one day, everything falls into place. You've had a camera out in a new spot, and you found that a shooter's been using the area. The wind is perfect, so you put up your stand. It's a crisp 20 degrees outside. Suddenly, you look up, and he's standing right there broadside. Then, boom, literally, all your hard work pays off. The feeling you have finally getting to touch the antlers on the deer's head and having a freezer full of meat is something I love, and it's one of the reasons I hunt. And it's a treasure in my heart. Now, think about hobbies and other things that interest you. Now relate them to the Bible. The 12 apostles are a great example. This group of men, ranging from fishermen to tax collectors, was hand-chosen by God to accompany Jesus during his ministry. These men left their normal, everyday lives and followed Jesus. They devoted their entire livelihoods to him. They gave him every bit of their effort and time and patience. Peter even ended up walking on water because of this. And they also experienced many other incredible miracles. But this decision also had consequences. All but one of the apostles were killed for the sake of Jesus, ranging from inverted crucifixions to beheadings. All along the way, the apostles had their hearts set on things above, and that was heaven. They left everything behind, endured persecutions and beatings, and even died for the sake of Jesus so that they could enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you look at your own favorite hobbies, you begin to realize something. They're more than likely earthly. Thieves can steal my truck, and if not, then rust will eventually overcome it. It'll rust away to nothing. Moths and vermin can eat my camo up. The animals I'm hunting will die, and my deer stands will rust away also. It's all temporary, but heaven is eternal. That means without end. Now, I'm not sure if I'll be able to cruise the streets of gold in heaven in a big truck while I listen to church hymnals over the speakers, or if I'll be able to kill big white-tailed deer. But I do know one thing. I want to find out. There will be no sadness, no tears, nothing negative, just a constant praising of God ringing through the air. And if we set our hearts on heaven above, then our treasure will be there, which is an eternal home in paradise. Where will your eternal home be?
Turn in your books to number 337. That'll be our invitation song in just a minute. I'm very thankful for our elders and the whole congregation for supporting the Lads to Leaders program. This is just a small sampling. There's so many others that will be giving speeches and leading singing, and we haven't even gotten to the girls' side. They'll be doing the same thing. One word rang true tonight. It was repeated over and over because that's the theme this year. Where's your treasure? And that's something that all of us need to ask ourselves. Where is our treasure? We place it on people. We place it on things. Could be a vacation spot. But the real treasure is heaven. I want to go there. I know that you want to go there as well. There may be something in your life that's preventing that from happening. There may be a sin in your life. There may be a stumbling block that you've allowed yourself to trip over time and time again that is preventing you from potentially reaching the goal of heaven. We're offering an invitation tonight for anyone who is struggling, for anyone who has not yet started the walk of Christ by being baptized for forgiveness of sins and water. If we can assist you tonight, would you please stand as we come and sing?